Hello, everybody. It is time for a Thanksgiving edition Black Friday through Cyber Monday podcast episode just for you guys. A little bonus. This is Chris from Keep Thrifty round two. So I'm not doing any editing to this podcast episode, just kind of releasing it. For those of you who listened to the first episode of our conversation, I think it's just /podcast/Chris if you want to go check it out. But it's kind of a coaching call. He's doing a one-year mini retirement. He quit his highly lucrative job to blog full-time for about a year. And so this is a check-in. We see what he's done over the past couple of months, kind of holding him accountable and also just seeing what he's doing to sustain him and his family through the blog or how he's getting to that level. So I hope you enjoy it. I'm just going to put it here long and uncut. I was a little bit sick. I still am sick. So it's not the most exciting interview, but Chris is definitely valuable. I'll just say that. So hope you enjoy that. Before we get to that, this is not an advertisement, but I do want to tell you about some really sweet deals this weekend. If you're listening to this, Black Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Cyber Monday, on some blogging tools, domain name and hosting. We'll start with that. So SiteGround, Namecheap, probably GoDaddy too. I'm sure Bluehost. I don't know. They are all pretty much going to have deeply discounted domain names, hosting packages, SSL certificates, all that jazz. As much as like 70 to 90% off, I think, in some cases. I think you could probably just go to their homepages anytime this weekend and probably get access to that. So if you're looking to get like a yourdomainname.net to redirect to your .com or just stocking up for future business experiments like me or whatnot, this weekend would be the perfect time to do that. In addition to that, if you're a ConvertKit user, you should probably log in and pay for the next year and get 3 months free. That's one of their sweet deals. And if you're not a ConvertKit user, you can actually go get a free month. So I think they have like a 14-day free trial normally. They extended it to 30-day free trial just this weekend. It's not really that big of a benefit if you ask me, but it is pretty handy if you want to go try ConvertKit out. And you can do that at ConvertKit.com. What else? Oh, my own BloggerU, newly hatched, newly launched. I don't mind giving you this promo. It is $1.99 this weekend. That would be half off, people. Just as a pre-launch thing, you can go ahead and get locked into the Slack group. You can actually see the entire outline of the program, by the way. It's already up there. You can find that at BloggerU. That's just the letter U. BloggerU.org. Go check that out. It's half off this weekend. Monica Louie's Facebook course is $50 off this weekend. I'm not sure if you can. Actually, you'll have to go to the show notes. So this will be doyouevenblog.com/Thanksgiving. Ignore that. doyouevenblog.com/podcast/Chris2. That would just be the number two. Chris2/podcast/Chris2. You can find links to all this stuff, but there's some definitely sweet deals this weekend that you should probably go check out. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. Go get your half off BloggerU coupons, stock up on some domain names, or for God's sake, get some SSL on your site if you don't have that already. This weekend, you can get it super cheap, like 70, 90% off. Go do it. That's my homework for you. So, yeah, that's it. Oh, no, I want to congratulate somebody. Congratulations to Marie. Yay. She won the blog bundle giveaway last week. Marie, I can't release her domain name because it's actually under construction, but she is a parenting blogger focusing on multilingual kids, bringing up multilingual kids. I think that's really, really cool. And yeah, congratulations, Marie. She was super excited when I emailed her. And yeah, can't wait to get you all your stuff set up, which is going to be hard because you are in France and I'm supposed to be mailing you stuff. So I got to figure out how to do that. Anyways, sorry to bore you guys. Enjoy this episode with Chris, Keep Thrifty, round two. You guys give him some love on his site, by the way. He's doing a really great job. He's trying lots of new things, including the YouTube channel. So let's help him get there. Let's help him get to a full-time income from his blog so he doesn't have to go back to, you know, engineering full-time. That's it. You guys have a wonderful holiday. Happy Thanksgiving. Go get you some cheap domain names and SSL and BloggerU this weekend. And yeah, coming at you next week with Erica Amatori, John from ESI Money, and maybe one or two podcasts down the pipeline that you'll enjoy as well. And that's it. Talk to you guys later. Enjoy this episode, uncut, fresh, and uncut with Chris from KeepThrifty.com.
Okay. I'm so sorry. I think I just lost all of that.
Ah, I don't mind.
Okay, so let me just back up for a second. Chris and I have been talking for like 10 minutes, and I accidentally hit the record button a couple of minutes ago, and I think I lost everything. So welcome to Do You Even Blog Podcast, where Pete is an absolute failure. Today, I'm joined by Chris at Keep Thrifty, and I'm going to do this super quick. This is also going to release unedited, so forgive me. I'm talking with Chris, my friend Chris, KeepThrifty.com. He also has an app with the same name, a personal finance app. And this is our round two episode, the first of which was released a couple of months back and kind of dug into Chris's backstory and what he's doing now, which is a one-year mini retirement. So Chris is almost halfway through. At the end of June is when he kind of quit his job. Now he's, you know, trying to navigate his way to making more income through the blog and the app to kind of sustain himself and his family, giving himself a temporary period of about 1 year to do that and just see what happens. So in the first episode, we walked through how he's going to make it happen. We talked about a bunch of stuff, and to just sum up the takeaways, Chris and I were just talking about this. This is really awkward. I'm sorry. Yeah. So we basically left with, Chris was going to try posting more frequently. He was going to increase his Twitter following, which he just told me it was about 3,400. He was going to try and get it up to about 5K by this time, which is Monday before Thanksgiving, by the way, for anybody listening. And then last, he was going to try and grow his Patreon backers, supporters, patrons, I guess, to about $100 a month. So now you don't really have to go back and listen to that episode if you want. Just know that Chris is an awesome guy. We hung out at FinCon. We got to chat a lot. He's a great blogger. His wife and he are doing YouTube videos these days and really just trying to grow their brand throughout this mini retirement. So I think this was about the point where I accidentally hit the record button just a few minutes ago and left out. So I thought it would be cool to start with just those little metrics takeaways from the last call. So Patreon, we'll talk about that last, posting more frequently, and Twitter. So forgive me for making you say this again, Chris, but so welcome for one. And how did that stuff go in the past 2 or 3 months?
Yeah. So let's start with Twitter, because that's the one where I'll just put my failures right up front. So for Twitter, yeah, I was at like 3,300 or 3,400 when we talked a couple months ago. The goal was to get it up to 5,000. I did increase my following. I'm up to about 4,000 right now. Mm-hmm. The reason I didn't get to 5,000, I can tell you flat out, is I stopped doing the work. So my following was growing naturally. I was trying to boost that by doing kind of the find people in your niche and proactively follow and get follow backs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's not a methodology that I've loved in the past.
No, I'm with you.
Last call, I had actually done a purge of the people I was following because I really wanted Twitter to get back to the feed of things that I wanted to see and then, you know, keep it nice and clean. So I had been following that, or I had been following the strategy of proactively follow after our last call. I did that for a week or two. I went from, I think I was following like 250 people. I'm following 2,400 right now.
Okay.
So I definitely did increase on that side, and that yielded between organic, just kind of people finding me naturally, and from that follow back method, I probably got 600 or 700 new followers.
Okay. So, all right. Well, how about posting more frequently?
So that one has had some good starts and then some lessons that we kind of learned along the way.
which we're going to get to.
Yes, absolutely. So in terms of frequency, we talked about putting out more posts a week and then also delving into a new format for content, being audio. So one thing I did start doing is for almost all of my posts, I've had a few posts that just didn't tailor themselves well to going to audio. Mm. I do like monthly spending summaries, and me reading off, you know, 30 lines from a spreadsheet just doesn't seem like something people would actually sit through.
Right.
I've been passing on those, but all of the regular posts that I've got, we've been doing in audio. My wife has written a couple posts actually in the last 2 months, and she's recorded the audio on her end. So people are getting to hear her voice too. And we've gotten pretty good feedback on that. But that's just attached to the normal post itself. So it's not actually like an increased.
Right. Yeah. It's not like a new medium to send traffic your way. I see.
Yep. So on the other side, we had done two other things to increase frequency. One was we launched a YouTube series, and we've been doing a video once a week. It's my wife and I sitting over coffee, chatting about money. We try to share kind of one, hopefully semi-humorous anecdote about our actual life, and then give people a takeaway with regards to money. So I think the most popular one so far has been that while my wife was feeling ill, she sent me out with the kids to go buy leggings from Old Navy, and it was a it was quite a mess. But we had good takeaways from it, and it was fun, and we got some good feedback from it. So we've been really enjoying the YouTube side of it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it looks like it.
My wife's been doing all the editing and stuff, so it's actually really nice where we just sit down and we record for maybe 30 minutes, you know, from start to end of setting up the camera and getting everything loaded on our computer. And then she kind of just takes it from there. So that's been really, really nice, and we've been having fun with it. So far, we've got 7 videos, and total, I think that's gotten about 800 views.
Really?
On YouTube. So
that's a lot.
Well, that's total amongst the videos. So we're between 50 and 150 views per video, but it's been good. I mean, it's definitely like anything else. Like when you first launch a blog, you know, things go a little bit slowly at first, and you kind of find your footing. And so we're getting into a rhythm with it and feeling pretty good. And then there was one other thing that we were working on to increase our frequency. I launched a Saturday roundup series, and that lasted about, I think I did 4 of those and decided to stop. And the reason I decided to stop is even though I was working on those ahead of time, doing them on Saturday and kind of getting everything there, it stretched my work week out to like a 7-day work week. And that's something I was hoping to avoid in the mini retirement, because I didn't even have that when I was doing 9 to 5. So, we could have shifted it to another day, but I found myself forcing my way through reading articles for the sake of creating this post. And I wasn't really enjoying the time as much. And I felt like I could focus it elsewhere. Yeah. So since we did do the video series, and that was both increased schedule and a new medium, so a whole new source of kind of viewers and stuff, I thought that was a good way to go. And we've been enjoying that one, so we plan to stick with that at least for the foreseeable future here. So,
okay. Yeah, let's come back to that. Let's come back to the YouTube especially. I want to talk about that. But really quick, let's just go through Patreon. So correct me if I'm wrong. Well, let me just let you tell the story. So what happened on the Patreon front?
So Patreon, I did my homework. We left the last podcast with me having homework of calling 5 friends and family and asking them to, I guess in the words that I was using with people, to kind of seed the tip jar. You know, so when you go to the grocery store or anywhere else and the tip jar is empty, people don't give to an empty tip jar. So one of the goals was to kind of get things started, get a little bit of that that sense from people that, hey, this is something worth contributing to. And then from there, my goal was promote via Twitter, via my email list, and on the site at the end of every post, I had like a little call to action of, you know, hey, I don't do ads, I don't do sponsored posts, and I don't have any affiliate links right now.
Yep.
I'm trying to do this without all those by using this Patreon platform instead. So please come over and support me here. So I put all that together. My wife and I worked quite a bit on refining rewards and trying to get things that were relevant to the content on the site but meaningful for people. So we had things like Google Hangout chats. Originally, I had offered some things like some PDF versions of posts and allowing people to vote on topics for the month for blog posts and things like that.
Yeah.
And we promoted and we worked at it and promoted and worked at it. And at the end of last week, I had exactly the same number of people I had right after I got those friends and family to sign up. So I should say about the friends and family thing, I'm glad that I did it. It was incredibly uncomfortable and painful for me. I don't think I anticipated how uncomfortable and painful it was going to be, but I did it anyways. Thanks in part because we had talked about it and I didn't want to come on this podcast and say that I didn't do it.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm glad that I did. And everybody was really supportive. I didn't have a single person say no. And I kind of told them all up front. I was like, I am doing this to get started. It's not about the money. But I need to be able to show people that, you know, some people have contributed to this already to kind of get things started. And everybody was super supportive. They committed to higher dollar amounts than I was expecting because I was telling them, you know, just do the lowest one so I can just show some people.
Yeah.
So I was getting about $25 a month from Patreon when we got to the end of last week. But that was all from the five friends and family and then you. So
sure.
At this point, it was, you know, looking at it and saying, we didn't hit the goal. I have thoughts on why it didn't work, but kind of looking at the future and seeing whether that stuff was going to change. I didn't see that changing in the near term. So last week I sent an email to each person who was, you know, committing to supporting me on Patreon and said, you know, at this point I tried the experiment. I'm not shutting the page down, but if you would like to, no hard feelings, go ahead and pull your money out.
Yeah. Yep. I saw that.
It served the purpose of an experiment and I'm glad that I tried it. But you know, I kind of told, you know, if people cancel their stuff, I'm happy to provide a refund. Everyone has rejected my refund. So at least so far, which I mean, we're talking, you know, tens of dollars here. So it's not, you know, I think for anybody, it's not a big deal. but yeah, it was a fun experiment to try. I'm glad that we did it. I think if I can diagnose on my end, what worked and what didn't. And some of this feedback I got, like right when I committed to doing this, all sorts of people on like the Rockstar Finance forums provided their two cents on why I thought it might or might not work.
Yeah.
And a lot of that turned out to be fair, but I still wanted to prove it to myself on my own. One big piece was branding. So at the time we launched the Patreon page, and even today we have I'll say an okay brand. I don't think that we're not the brand that people are like, oh God, keep thrifty. I soak up all of their stuff. I think we're starting to get there.
Yeah.
And I think the YouTube channel is actually going to help a lot with that because one of the big things we're trying to do is connect deeper with our readers, viewers, listeners, and make it a little more personal.
I think that's huge. Think
that's where I've seen success with some people on Patreon is it's because of the personal connection. The other cases that I've seen is people who are really, really good at segmenting out their content into Patreon-only content versus broad mass public. And in essence, they're using Patreon as a paywall then, where you know, hey, you get access to 80% of my stuff and the other 20% is reserved if you're paying through Patreon. We didn't follow that strategy. We didn't set up a rewards that manner. It wasn't really what I was hoping to do through Patreon from the get-go to segment out too much content like that. So I think that can be a viable strategy for people who want to go that route. So I think those were kind of the two. We needed to be strong at one or the other, and we weren't strong enough on the brand going in.
Okay.
I think that's developing. I think our brand will get there, and Jamie and I have lots of ideas on what we're doing to improve the brand, but we just weren't there timing wise for Patreon, I think, to work at this point. So we're going to keep the page up. I'll probably promote it a little bit less for now, just so I can focus my efforts elsewhere, because you know, real estate on our website is limited, and if I'm going to promote stuff, I've got some other things that we're going to be coming up with that I want to promote a little bit harder. So.
Okay. I think that makes perfect sense. I am with you, by the way, on the Patreon thing. Like, I haven't promoted it at all now in quite a while. I'll just say that. I still think I'm going to make it worth my existing backers. I have like three or four people at like the $30 a month level, which, I was like, I guess thrilled with, but also kind of like, I feel responsible. Like, okay, now I have to provide these people.
Right.
Stuff, which luckily in my case wasn't like additional content so much as it was some discounts on some stuff, which I do give them. But even then, like, I'm not really interested in doing that going forward for me personally either. So there's that. Let's just kind of leave that. So Patreon, I'm with you. It didn't really work out, the short-term experiment. Not that it necessarily won't work out in the future either, but not right now. So excuse me. Before we go on to, I want to talk about YouTube. I want to talk about connecting deeper. And I want to talk, if you're okay with it, you can kind of give me the broad level view if you want. I want to talk about burnout, because I know you mentioned it, at FinCon, that is. Yep. But before any of that, I think this might be helpful for all of us, me, you, people listening as well. So here's what I would love to not happen. And here's what I see myself. One of the weaknesses that I have would be to listen to all this and talk with you, Chris, and then like get at the end. And I, of course, want to give you my two cents and my advice or whatnot. And I have a feeling that I could just do three or four different like homework assignments for the next like 3 months or so that might be completely different than the stuff we talked about last time. Yep. Which may or may not help you. Some of this stuff, it might help you to keep driving on, I don't know if this will or not, but for example, keep driving on the Twitter front or keep experimenting with more frequency per week. And of course, you're already doing YouTube, but maybe some other stuff or whatnot. It might. I'm not saying that it will, but it might. So without just giving you lots of stuff at the end that's like brand new things to try out, brand new experiments, I thought it might be helpful for all of us. I am bringing this back around, I promise, to start with the end in mind again and just reconnect with your overall goal and then work backwards. So I don't remember, maybe you have this written down, if you actually had a monetary goal, like I want to make, I want to be up to 5K a month by June 2018 or 10K or 1K or whatever. I don't remember if you have anything like that, but if you do, would you mind sharing it? Like one goal, one metric for sustainability?
Yep. So we actually did, in the last session, we talked about a monetary metric. And I originally had set my sights a little bit low and had a stretch goal. And then you helped pull me up and said, well, let's make the stretch goal the normal goal. So the dream goal here is we get to the end of next summer, so the end of August. And between app and blog and whatever else, I'm bringing in five a month.
Okay.
If we bring in five a month at that point with some slight adjustments to our budget, we should be able to sustain at that point and then figure out how to grow from there.
Okay.
That said, kind of as my wife and I have talked, if I'm making half of that and feel like I see a pathway to growth, we may continue the mini retirement at that point and see how things go. So, okay.
All right, that's great. So let's keep it at 5K. Working backwards from there so we can eventually trickle down to maybe some new things to try, maybe some old strategies to keep going with. That's going to be about 6.5 months, 7 months now. Well, I guess 7.5. Either way. So 5K next summer. I guess the sub goals in my eyes, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't want to say website traffic because that's obviously not the right metric, but there is a bigger correlating thing that will result in monetization, which is, how do we say this? Just eyeballs or earlobes? Mm-hmm. Like for me, I don't really care about website traffic because I have podcast downloads, which is infinitely more intimate to people that listen than just reading my blog post. Same thing for you. That's like 700-800 people now that have literally laid eyeballs on you and your wife's YouTube videos and heard you, regardless of how long they stuck around through those videos, like that's still a very important metric in my eyes.
Yep.
Same thing, even if you did start a podcast, which I'm not telling you to, but you get the idea. So I'm just going to say eyeballs. Why don't we just say eyeballs? I think that that is by far is going to be the biggest driver towards revenues in every form. Like in order to get users on your app, you're going to have some marketing, right? To get, you know, website traffic, et cetera, et cetera. I think people understand this, right? I don't have to dig into this too big. So the end goal, of course, you want to be sustainable about 5K a month. How you get there, probably like working backwards here, would be through eyeballs, both increasing site traffic, increasing YouTube views, increasing downloads, increasing the amount of people who are connecting with you and following you and listening and watching and reading you. So that's the second step backwards in my eyes. So this is just as much for me as it is for you, by the way. I'm just trying to like keep things focused. So with all those things being said, let's talk Let's talk about burnout first. I know this is kind of switching around a little bit. I apologize for people. It might be a little confusing, but I actually want to talk about that before we start talking about posting more or doing more YouTube videos or, you know, et cetera, working hard, working hard. Can you tell the story about what happened or just tell the burnout situation?
Yeah. So leading up to FinCon, a lot of what I was focusing on was kind of taking the strategy we talked about last time and putting it to action. We hadn't at the time talked about YouTube. So that came on just as an idea that my wife had, and we both got really excited about it and we wanted to work on it. It was something that sounded like fun, something that fit within our vision of what we wanted to accomplish with Keep Thrifty and everything. So we did get started on that. I launched that Saturday Stash series, which was kind of the Saturday roundup, and found, and my wife and I were working on redesign on the site and all this kind of stuff. And we found ourselves pretty much working 7 days a week in the evenings after the kids were in bed, but then even sometimes during the days, if the kids were, you know, playing quietly in the living room or having fun with each other, Jamie and I would sit down and we'd start working on web design and all this kind of stuff. And we kind of got to this point where we were talking and we were both stressed out and we were finding ourselves working on a lot of the things we were doing, not because we enjoyed them, but because we felt like this is what we have to do to be successful. And there's a balance there. And we got to the point where we actually made a statement to each other where we said, if this is what we need to do to make this permanent, we don't want this to be permanent.
Right.
You know, if, yeah, if that was the lifestyle we had to live to continue the mini retirement, it wasn't a mini retirement at that point. It was a 70-hour a week job, and we were just not loving what we were working on.
Yes.
And this is a rare opportunity, what we've got going for us right now. And so we're trying to strike this delicate balance between loving and enjoying this mini retirement as the unique opportunity it is to get outside of the 9-to-5 and do something different, with also wanting to be successful. You know, we do want to make money with Keep Thrifty, and we'd love to be able to have a sustainable self-employment income. If it comes at the cost of our sanity, like, it's just not worth it at that point. So
here's my two cents. First of all, I think everybody probably reaches that at some point. It may not look exactly the same, but I know people do. I know I do. The only thing that kind of stinks, and this might just be related to circumstance, is that you're not trying to take your blog from $5,000 a month to $50,000. You're trying to take it from 0 to 5, which it kind of stinks. It kind of stinks because hustle is definitely required for that.
Yep.
And by hustle, I just mean, you know exactly what I mean. Like putting in those extra hours, making sacrifices in other areas of your life. I think that kind of stinks. Like that's circumstantial, of course. It would be different. I guess this is both good and bad. It's bad, meaning, yeah, some of that sacrifice might have to happen. Like you just said, like that might be what it takes to get to a successful, sustainable, full-time blog. It might be. I don't know.
Yep.
But there's also good news in that if that does happen, I think, don't get me wrong, I'm not there yet myself, so I don't know. I think there would be a point to hustle less just to remain sustainable at like 5K,
right,
where you could hustle to get up to 10K and 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 and 100 even. But I definitely think that there's balance comes a lot easier when you're not forced to hustle. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yep.
I currently feel that myself as way, by the way, because I'm currently trying to go from 0 to 5. And I'm okay with it, only because, for one thing, my wife isn't really involved, which is, I would love for her to be involved, but it's also a blessing for me to kind of keep it separate, where my stresses, I'm actually okay with it because I don't know, this is really, really, really what I want, and it doesn't stress her out. If I saw that it stressed her out, I might have to, you know, go back to full-time accounting or whatnot.
Sure.
But it doesn't so far, so I'm pretty happy with that. But I too really, really want that balance of knowing that I can take tomorrow off. And by tomorrow, I just mean like next weekend or even Thanksgiving. Even Thanksgiving. Let's say Thanksgiving. Yep. I want to be able to know that I can take Thanksgiving off from a computer, from social media, and then not feel bad about it. And if I'm already generating income, That's absolutely okay with me. If I'm not, if I'm really having to hustle to keep things going and growing, I kind of feel bad about it. So
yep.
I totally feel you. I know everyone listening to this has definitely felt that before. I guess the question is, where does the balance lie for you and your wife, for that matter, in the next 6 to 7 months? And you don't have to have an answer, by the way, but if you do have some thoughts, maybe that would be YouTube being easier to reach your goals, you think? Or yeah, anything?
I think I have a lot of thoughts. Too many, probably.
That's okay.
Honestly, my wife and I, even just in the last handful of days, have had a lot of discussions about this. And I feel like as hard as I've been working on Keep Thrifty, as hard as she's been working on, because she joined since the last time that we called, she's doing about 20 hours a week trying to help out with design and strategy and some other things. As hard as we've worked at it, I think the biggest thing that we had going for us was hustle, but the biggest thing we were lacking was an actual strategy. We had lots of tactical ideas, but we did not have a clear vision for where we needed to go, and all the hustle in the world won't get you success if you don't actually have an idea on what it's being applied towards. So,
That was like super profound, by the way. I'm like, oh God, say that again. Okay. All right, keep going.
I can say it that way only because we've learned it the really hard way. So, I mean, we've even talked bluntly about the YouTube series. We love the YouTube series. We're really enjoying it. The discussion we're having right now is and I hope to talk about it on the podcast today. Since FinCon, my wife and I have had a lot of discussions about what are we trying to accomplish with Keep Thrifty? Who are we trying to help? Mm-hmm. One of the big themes from FinCon, PT did an awesome job putting that together. And one of the resounding messages that we got from it was, we need to figure out who are we serving and what are we helping them transform?
Yep.
So where are they now? Where do they want to be? And how do we fit into that picture?
Yep. Huge.
If we can figure that out, then the monetization doesn't become a dirty word. It becomes the natural outgrowth of us helping people accomplish what they already want to accomplish. And I think over the last month, we've gotten a ton more clarity there. And now we're starting to get to the point where we're putting those words to paper. And even this morning, right before we started recording, before my wife ran out to her appointment, she and I were furiously like scribbling down notes about thoughts on what the strategy is. What is this beast that we call Keep Thrifty? Where does it fit in our lives? Where does it fit in other people's lives? And how do we make this something valuable for us and valuable for other people? And once we started talking about that and getting some clarity, I think the balance will come a lot easier, because I'm a little bit stubborn when it comes to this kind of stuff. In my head, we should be able to be financially successful at this, making $5,000 a month, which for me working full-time and her working 20 hours a week, that's not a crazy hourly wage. I mean, that's fair compensation for people putting in 3,000 hours a year. That'd be $20 an hour. If we're really providing value to people, I'd like to think that we can fit into that space. We should be able to do that without having to work more than, 60 total hours a week between the two of us. I firmly believe the world can work that way. And I think it's ironic because I always, in my day job, was like the guy who focused on strategy more than the tactical side, almost to a fault. And in my own project, I have failed to actually focus on strategy. So we're getting that figured out now, and I think it's going to make a whole world of difference. So,
Okay, interesting. So I know how hard this is to like actually put into words, by the way, but do you have some of that stuff enough figured out where you can share it? Like you're serving, what that transformation looks like?
Yeah, only because my wife and I talked about it like 40 minutes ago.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so what you got?
But that's real. I mean, we're figuring this out real time. So I think most bloggers, if you talk in terms of avatars, if you asked 100 bloggers who their avatar is, the answer they'll give you is themselves from 5 years ago. And I think that's fair and awesome. And it makes things a little bit easier because you know who you're writing to. So our avatar is us from 2013. And in 2013, we were a family that was making decent money, but yet didn't really seem to be getting anywhere. We weren't living paycheck to paycheck in the sense that we were, you know, on the edge of having our finances fall apart, but we were living paycheck to paycheck in the sense that we weren't advancing towards any big goals. We didn't have any big dreams. We didn't have anything we were looking forward to accomplishing. It was get through the month and see what's left over. And yeah, we've got an emergency savings fund, but we're never going on vacation and all this kind of stuff.
Yep.
And the transformation we've had personally over the last 4 years has been to really figure out what is it we want out of life. We wanted more time together as a family. We wanted to travel and have adventures. I wanted to start a business and try and make that work. And once we started to lay out those dreams, we were able to figure out the financial side to make them happen. And that's who we're trying to serve and what we want to help people with. So really, for me, our target audience is people who they're making okay money, but they don't really feel like they're getting anywhere. You know, it's probably very often going to be families, you know, early career professionals, mid-career professionals who they're making ends meet, but they're not really getting anywhere after that. Yep. And our goal out of Keep Thrifty is to help inspire them and help them discover dreams that they may not realize they have, and then give them the tools and resources to help get to those dreams.
Yep. That's huge. Which
is pretty abstract and high level. And that's, I think, the one thing I'm struggling with a little bit is, you know, it's one thing for me to say, I'm going to help you learn how to take a vacation to Costa Rica. You know, there's blogs dedicated at that level of niche, right? And I think our statements are still very abstract and high level. But once we got anchored on this, I mean, my wife and I were chatting this morning and I had kind of sketched out a flow for this last night of putting together a free email mini course, which talks about how you can discover what your dream is, you know, how you can identify what things speak to you and come out of that mini course with like, here's a big audacious goal that I want to work towards for the people who don't have that identified yet.
Okay.
Then that can be a funnel to have me reach out to the people who complete that and say, hey, I saw that you completed it. I would love to get on the phone or get on Skype for 30 minutes for free and just chat with you about it and, you know, see what barriers are in your way and, you know, just brainstorm some ideas on how to get past them. And out of that, focus on giving those people who have that 30-minute Skype call or whatever, say, hey, you know, I do offer coaching on helping people actually develop a plan. So where you can turn that abstract dream into a detailed plan of what you need to do to get there. We could do coaching sessions on that and I'll give you a discount. Also, if you're going to get to a financial goal, you need to have financial discipline. I'll give you a discount on Thrifty, the app that I've developed. And now all of a sudden, Keep Thrifty starts to look like a business that's helping people accomplish a goal instead of right now it's a place with a lot of content. And I think we inspire people and I think we help teach people some things, but there's not a cohesive flow of you start here, you end here.
Okay. So I have a few thoughts. One would be, I don't see that, and I know this is recent, by the way. Like, I know everything you just said, you guys have been pouring through the last couple of days or weeks or hours. But I definitely think you need to sell that message.
Yep.
And I do mean actually sell, as in like sleazy carsman sale. Like, put that in your copywriting on the homepage, on the about page, in with your YouTube videos, which I've watched a few of them, and I thoroughly enjoy them, by the way. It actually, it looks like you guys are having fun, like sitting there and talking about stuff actively. It does, but I'm not getting any of that transformation message. Not necessarily that you have to like preach it at the beginning of each YouTube video, but it does need to be your story, which it is, by the way. You said that like 2013 to now, that's the story you guys have. It does need to be projected out there to everybody that comes in contact with your brand. That's just my my opinion. That's what I took away from Darren's keynote at FinCon the most. And I love this. I'm not doing nearly enough of this as well, by the way. That's one thought. Two, I kind of want to dig into this a little bit. That transformation and your avatar along with it are the exact same for about 372 other personal finance bloggers. Not all of them, but many of them. It's the same exact avatar or very, very similar, at least on a broad level, and the SAM transformation. So one thing I might think about is, A, we have this now. We have the clarity, or more clarity, about who we're serving and what we're trying to change in them. How can we make our brand, our personality stand out? Like, what can we do to attract more eyeballs that might otherwise go to XYZ personal finance site, which already has like 250, 300,000 page views a month, et cetera. How can we get those people, and not steal them, by the way, for anybody listening, but how can we attract them and then further help them? How can we attract those people? And I think, don't let me put words in your mouth, I think YouTube is an amazing way to do that, personally. Yep. Mainly because there are a lot less YouTubers.
Yes.
And I'm trying to transition to YouTube here, if you can't tell. Yep. One thing I'll say is, this isn't coming from my head either. I just interviewed this guy. His name's Nick True. The podcast episode will come out after this one for people listening, so I won't spoil too much of it. But he and I agree that YouTube, despite the fact that it seems like it's been around for ages and it's too late to get in there and start making people... or start making income like Casey Neistat or whoever the YouTube stars are, that opportunity is actually maybe just blossoming. And I'm just going to leave it. I'm not going to, you know, say too much more other than the fact that you guys might be on the right track, even if you didn't know it, to really, really grow that in 2018. That's just my two cents.
Yep.
So now that we're talking about it, and I have feedback already, but I'll save it for a second ago.
Sure.
Do you think YouTube specifically is going to be a continued strategy going forward? And if so, how much time are you looking to spend on that? Or how much of your overall focus is going to be on YouTube?
Right. So it's interesting because we've really enjoyed the YouTube stuff. The focus right now is it's much more of a casual thing. So you've seen the videos. We sit there, we drink coffee, we chat.
Yep.
I think that's connected well with people. I think that helps us seem personable and approachable and everything. And but it's definitely on lighter topics, you know, more of the day-to-day stuff, not as much on our story. We have had a little bit about that. I think our second video was, you know, the very short version of how a road trip back in 2013 kind of changed everything for us. And that's kind of when we started discovering our dream and really focusing that direction. But that's in a single video. I think YouTube is a huge opportunity for us, partially because we're not anonymous. So we're willing to put our face out there.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge barrier for a lot of people.
It is.
That if you want to maintain an anonymity, it's really tough to do on video. So, since we're willing to go on there and be goofy and be ourselves, I think it's definitely going to work for us. Right now we're doing one video a week. Most YouTube videos from all of the guidance and feedback I've gotten need to be 5 minutes or less. Attention spans are short. It depends on what you're trying to accomplish with it. If we're going to go through a more detailed story and do more production with it, I could see going longer. But, for the types of things that we're talking about, me going on for more than 5 minutes about a trip to Old Navy probably won't work. So, so right now we're doing one video a week, based on the frequency with which we have ideas and can generate topics and even spend the time to produce. It takes us one morning, an hour or two in the morning from getting everything set up and recording, and my wife, you know, getting started on editing, it probably takes her until the end of the day to get that episode published. We're still early on. We've done seven. So I mean, we're going to get more efficient as time goes on, but it's definitely been, it's a pretty time consuming thing. It's kind of like podcasts where if you go and do all the refining and editing on a podcast, you can easily double, triple your time.
Okay. Here's my initial thoughts. I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm disagreeing with whoever told you to keep it under 5 minutes for sure. Okay. I definitely think there is a place for that shorter content. But the cool thing about YouTube, and I've heard this from everybody, Jeff Rose, Pat Flynn, these guys are going all in on personal finance YouTube in 2018, by the way. So get in before them. Nick True from, the episode that'll release maybe a week or two after this one. he's learned this as well, and we both agree. There can be a whole lot of wide-ranging formats and topics and styles on your YouTube channel, much more so than on your blog, probably. So people might get a little confused if you were Keep Thrifty, the how-to of personal finance blogs. Like, every post you put out was just like 2,300 words or more, like super in-depth how to do this, XYZ, an in-depth guide to XYZ. Or you could be like more like J Money, less like that, that is mostly personal stuff and like your viewpoints and your opinions and, you know, limited in super deep tutorials and how to's and stuff. There, it might be hard to kind of do both of those extremes on a blog. Not always, but it could be. But and YouTube especially, that's actually like really, really highly encouraged even from pretty much everybody I've heard of. And for a few reasons. One, from an SEO perspective, which is actually huge on YouTube, obviously.
Yep.
And also, Google owns YouTube, so if you just Google stuff, you'll see videos right there. Longer videos are better. Longer, better. YouTube wants people to stay on their platform and keep coming back to their platform as long as humanly possible. So they reward the amount of time someone spends on their platform. That could be 25-minute videos, as in like a 5-minute video, 5-minute video, 5-minute video, if it's in like some logical progression. I did this with Logic Pro. Music Tech Help Guy on YouTube has a massively successful YouTube channel, and his stuff is like 10 to 15 minutes a video, but it's really, really linear, logically progressing. Like, I just watched video after video after video, just learning Logic Pro. Really, really well set up. And so he's been rewarded. Other guys like Tim Schmoyer, who, if you want to learn YouTube, by the way, you go to Tim Schmoyer. YouTube video, I don't remember the domain, but just Google Tim Schmoyer, you'll find him. His stuff is an hour to an hour and a half.
Sure.
Three times a week.
Holy moly.
Yep, which I want to get into in just a second. But in general, you want to keep people on your channel, and a steady mix of stuff is totally okay. Like, if you wanted to dedicate like a week in December to recording a 10 video thing on an introduction to financial independence or something, like more of a guide, more of a how-to stuff, you could do that, and you could have like a playlist on your channel, and you could totally intersperse your publishing schedule with just you and your wife chatting for 5 minutes. Like, sure. That's actually not a bad thing at all. That's actually a really, really, really good thing from everybody. Everybody says this about YouTube, and I love that. So take a quick breath. Catch my thoughts. I'm talking a lot. Sorry.
That's okay.
One piece of advice, and I think this would be my homework for you and your wife, is to take all that production time and editing time and slice it in half like three times. Like, if you release a 5-minute video, try and get that entire thing done in less than an hour, less than half an hour. And like you said, it obviously takes time just learning the platforms and getting more efficient in editing, but it also comes down to publishing unedited stuff a little bit more and getting better at first takes when you want to talk about this specific topic. You don't do a whole lot of like stopping and starting and stopping and starting. That comes with time, obviously, but I think that would be my homework. So you can publish 2-3 times a week easy without getting back towards that burnout that we talked about a little while ago. I think that's going to be huge for you guys. And yeah, I think it's two things. One, get better at just using first takes and being okay with it. And then two, just, of course, that'll help immensely with production time, and be okay with less and less and less and less editing.
Sure.
Which was, I guess, more your wife's territory. I think that is going to be huge for you guys. If you truly want to pump out more YouTube content, you and your wife chatting, as well as maybe some guides or more focused topics in personal finance.
Sure.
I think that's going to be huge. So just really dialing back on that production and editing time on YouTube videos. That's kind of like my whole philosophy with podcasting, by the way, is I'm intentionally lazy. So I think that'll work. What else on YouTube? Let me see here. Yeah, I think it's smart to keep doing that, especially if you both enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say if I had to give a formula based on what Brian Dean, Jeff Rose, and Tim Schmoyer, and Noah Kagan, I'll actually throw them all in the same boat. They all have pretty much the same formula, which is 20 to 30 minute videos, 2.5 times a week. So 2 times a week or 3 times a week, 20, 30 minutes, maybe even one longer one. Like if I did a webinar right now that was like 45 minutes long, I would just put it up there unedited. I would just put it up there.
Sure.
I don't know. If I had to give you a formula, it would be that, but you guys are a little bit different.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's see here. Okay. What else do we have? So that's kind of YouTube. Maybe let's switch back. What else do you think you want to try, work harder on, or work smarter on in the next like 3 months ish? So let's say March 1st. Sure. Let's just say that.
Okay. So we do actually have, interestingly enough, we talked about content frequency and everything, and I had the Saturday roundup that I launched and then killed after about a month. We do have a series that basically my wife is running that we are going to, in alignment with our mission and what we want to accomplish, we're calling it the Create Your Freedom series, because that's going to kind of be our tagline. It's on the site right now, but we've got a logo redesign we're working on and stuff. So it's going to be Keep Thrifty, Create Your Freedom. And so we're going to launch this Create Your Freedom series, and it's going to be, plan right now is once a week, curated interview style guest posts where we've got a template of questions and we're asking people to share their stories of transformation. And there's an element of money in there, but we really, one of our firm beliefs, I mean, we're personal finance bloggers, but money's a goal, or I mean, sorry, money's a tool, not a goal. So we're trying to, through this series, help people see what dreams are possible out there, what cool things they've never heard of they could maybe aspire to go do. And just sharing other bloggers' stories and other people's stories out there, whether they're bloggers or not. So we've actually already set this template up. We've already reached out. I use the Rockstar Finance forums. We've got, I think, 13 people in the pipeline already.
That's awesome.
Plan would be probably doing them once a week. And again, my wife's kind of curating this whole thing. So from my perspective, it's actually really nice because it'll be a whole extra post a week, definitely in alignment with the vision of sharing people who have made a transformation and really inspiring our readers to want to make some of those transformations themselves. And yeah, our hope is to launch that. We're targeting mid-December. It's kind of the goal here.
Okay.
So that's one that I'm really excited about. I think it's really going to tie in well with kind of that high-level transformation vision that we've got going on. Aside from that, I was going to, I kind of mentioned earlier, offering up some time to, you know, people who go through the free mini course. I do want to launch that mini course in that time frame, and offer up time to people where we can just get together and chat. I mean, this is one of the things that I've discovered through, we took on a pro bono coaching client last month. And one of the biggest things I discovered is everybody always talks about, you know, the benefits of talking with your customers, but you don't really see it until you do it,
like right,
how powerful that really is.
Oh yeah.
And so just talking with that one client, we've learned a ton. I really want to connect with my readers and understand what are they thinking about? What are their struggles? And how can I help them? So offering up, you know, just, hey, let's get on the phone or get on Skype and chat for a half an hour. Like it costs me very little to do that. I enjoy it.
You learn a lot.
I learn a ton and I can help people in 30 minutes. I mean, in 30 minutes we can actually bounce some ideas off of each other and make some progress. So, so that's part of it. And then aside from all of this is actually flipping the switch on making the app, not completely free anymore. So yeah. putting the paid sign on it and actually charging for it. I've got just a handful of features left that I'm implementing. We've made some good progress in the last couple of months on features, and I've got my hit list of what I need before I launch. And our hope is to do that mid next month. So December 15th is what we're targeting. I hope I can hit that. It's going to be tight, but
how much is it going to cost?
We have still been debating the price. But right now I am thinking, I plan to charge annually rather than monthly. Just because transaction fees are painful when what you're charging is low. Yeah. So my plan is it'll end up being $4 a month.
Okay.
But then, I'll charge that as a $48 annual, fee.
Okay.
And the nice part there is at $4 a month, I think it's not crazy expensive. It's definitely something that I can discount, for people if I need to and still get some money out of it. But I think it's enough that it's providing us with some value too. So.
Okay. Roughly how many users do you have?
Right now,
active users.
Great question. Give me one moment.
Okay.
Last I checked, I think I was at about 20 that are really actively using it like every single day.
Okay.
But that's been, as I've added features, that started getting a little bit better, and I've also had quite an uptick in signups. I had so far 25 people sign up this month.
Okay.
And I've been lightly promoting, but not incredibly actively promoting. And I've got a lot of agreements with people who've said, hey, when you're ready to launch on the paid side, talk to me and I'll help you promote it and stuff. So all time I've had like 400 people sign up for it, and 25 of those were just this month. So,
okay.
So things are definitely ticking up.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would definitely say, I was going to ask you, okay, what's your launch strategy? But without digging too far into that, let me share one little small thing.
Yep.
So I've mentioned this in the podcast like a bajillion times because I love them. Snappa is my graphic design tool. It used to be totally free, like every single feature in there when they were in alpha and beta or whatnot. And then one day, like so many other software products, SaaS companies, they were like, hey, we're nervous, but we're about to go paid. It's going to be $15 a month or whatever.
Yep.
And like Digit did this the wrong way. Digit was completely free. And now they're going to like, I don't know what the fee is. It's still pretty small, but they didn't really offer up anything for people to come in at a discount. At least I didn't see any of that. So I was like, okay, screw that. I'm dropping. So I ditched Digit. But Snappa, they were like, okay, we're doing this. We have a long, like, little launch thing. We're going to transition 2 months from now. Like, you have 2 months to decide whether you want to stay and pay $15 a month or whatever. And for this 2 months, you can get a lifetime rate of, like, I don't remember what it was, but it was something like $5 or $10 a month. I think it was, like, five. Or maybe it was, like, seven or something like that. It was literally, like, half off lifetime.
Yep.
And I thought that was really smart. That it was significant enough to be like, oh, they're going $15 a month. That's like, a couple hundred bucks a year. But, this is going to be offered to me and me only. It's never going to be available again, et cetera. It's just, it's good marketing. And they ended up doing very, very well. Actually, they were on Nick Loper's podcast talking about this as well. People can go look that up if they want the actual numbers. But they started off right there at like, a roughly 5K in monthly recurring revenue, like right off the bat, just from that like half off offer, which is pretty sweet. Nice. Yep. So not saying you have to do that, but something to think about.
I think that makes a ton of sense. I mean, that's one of the big things in terms of launch strategy is going from free to paid. I mean, I'm a little bit nervous, obviously. I mean, I've had signups and I've had people who I've gotten really good feedback and they're enjoying the app. And I think we're doing a good job of helping people with their finances. And I think we've got lots of great features in the future, but anytime you flip that free to paid, there's always the nervousness that, hey, is everybody just going to bail on this? So we've talked a lot about providing discounts and everything else. And that's where I want to pick a price point for the app that is meaningful and justifiable, but that I can still provide those discounts on whether it's, I mean, some at launch and then some also down the road when things come up. So,
yep.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I like that approach.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, let's maybe we'll kind of conclude with this. So I have a formula that I want to share with you. I don't necessarily think it's the Keep Thrifty formula.
Sure.
Excuse me. But I do have this formula that I've I've seen from a few different bloggers in the past 30 days or so. I've kind of discovered this, and I want to share it with you. I want to share it with the audience, but I have to ask, so roughly, what is your blog traffic like right now? If you just had to throw out a monthly number, what would you throw out?
Last time we talked, we were hovering at around 8K a month, I think.
Okay.
I've had a lot of features. We're at 10 now, probably 10 to 12.
Okay. So here's the formula. I was talking to this guy who will remain nameless, and he has a brand new, like less than 2 month old personal finance blog. Very, very common. I see a lot of these. Yep. And this guy was like, yeah, I follow all these big names, the names that everybody knows. I've been reading for like 2 or 3 years now, but I've just now started actually blogging, and I want to grow it to some side income. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Okay. We hear this story a lot. He's like, what do I do? What do I do? What kind of content do I produce? How often do I publish it? How do I market my blog? Like all these extreme beginner questions. Like he just had no idea kind of where to start.
Yep.
And I pointed him to an episode on Noah Kagan's podcast with Financial Samurai, who is a brilliant guy, by the way. People should just go follow that guy because he's absolutely amazing. But he said, if you were to hit publish on a blog 3 times a week for 3 years, there would be no way that you're not making money at the end of that. He just could not conceive of it. Financial Samurai, Sam, that is. He was like, 3 times a week for 3 years, you will be making some sort of money. It might not be like what Michelle Schroeder makes or even Noah Kagan or Financial Samurai makes, but it will be some money. You will have a monetized site. And this is due to a few different things. One, obviously just time, like time to learn what you're doing, time to fail, time to find your voice, time to find your avatar, time to, you know, just time. It takes a long ass time to have a blog that makes money. That's one. Two is that framework. And I don't necessarily know if this is the Keep Thrifty framework, don't get me wrong, but this is my recommendation for people who are just starting out that want to make money from a blog. You need to publish 3 times a week for 3 years. 3 times a week for 3 years. And the goal is to monetize in the three big areas that everybody monetizes in: info products, ads, and affiliates. Info product, ads, and affiliates, sure. The easiest one is going to be ads, obviously. I don't think people, you know my take on ads anyways, but if you were to blog 3 times a week for 3 years straight, consistently, and never miss a day, what do you think your website traffic would look like? That's one. And you don't have to answer that, Chris, but just people thinking about this. If you got up to 100K page views a month, that is, I think you're eligible for Mediavine or maybe Media.net. I don't know about AdThrive. I can't remember what their thresholds are. And they do website reviews anyways before they approve you. But you'll be making a couple of grand a month right there. So I want to conclude this podcast episode and my call with you, Chris, just kind of putting this in the back of your head. I know you're kind of anti-ads, just like myself, but I've kind of come full circle on this a little bit after talking with people like Jay from Millennial Boss and John at ESI Money and Steve from Think Save Retire. People I trust and bloggers that I like and I read. After kind of having this debate with them, I think this could be a viable formula in the long run. Maybe not for the mini retirement, but I think if you put a focus on growing website traffic just for the sake of like website traffic, just for the sake of metrics, you know what I mean? Like just I want eyeballs. Like I don't care about changing people. Not really. But just focused on getting the traffic, I do think that ad revenue would be substantial. If you could get to 30K, 50K, 100K, 200K, that is going to be your sustainability like right there. And the good news is that you wouldn't have to sacrifice content. You wouldn't have to sacrifice your mission and your purpose to change people in order to make that happen. So I just kind of want to throw that formula out there. Just food for thought going forward. I wrote it down here. Traffic plus ads and affiliate. Traffic plus ads and affiliates. Like, that is a time-consuming formula, but a formula for making money through a blog, period. Like, I don't care who you are. I don't care what the niche is. That is a formula if you can pull it off. So I just kind of want to leave you with that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. I don't want to tell you to put ads on your site or whatnot, but I do think that if you could focus on YouTube, if you could keep focusing on the upcoming series, Create Your Freedom.
Yep.
Wait, is that right? Create Your Freedom? Okay. Yeah, if that stuff did end up organically continuing to go traffic as well as marketing on Twitter or Pinterest and YouTube or whatnot, I don't know. I could foresee that you turning on well-done ads, not AdSense, of course, and not AdThrive because I hate their ads, but something like John or Steve did with Mediavine, and I'll just plug them because I like Mediavine. I don't know. I do think that might be a path to sustainability for the blog going forward. Just want to put that out there.
Yeah. I mean, as you and I have talked about, I mean, my general sense on ads is not so favorable and not so positive, but it's something that I think we're going to keep doing what we're doing now and keep things like that in our back pocket as other options.
Yep.
I mean, when we did the Patreon experiment, a part of that was me pulling all affiliate links out. I'm now slowly warming up to a handful. There's a couple that it's the kind of stuff that I would go tell anybody I know to go do this, even if I wasn't getting paid for it. So it's a pretty logical extension for me to say, hey, you know, now I can feel comfortable putting this on my site. So, so I am warming up at least to the affiliate link side and everything else. And maybe I'll get there someday with ads. We'll have to see.
Yeah, no, I understand. All right. Well,
awesome.
Okay, wrap up with this. So what are we going to try? What are you going to do in the next 3 months-ish to try and grow towards that big goal of 5K a month and likewise traffic, eyeballs, et cetera?
Yep. So I think big things, obviously getting the eyeballs is important. And I think continuing to work on our YouTube series, continuing to pump out the regular content we do now with the audio and what we're doing now is working and we are growing. I think the Create Your Freedom series can help quite a bit. So increasing content there. I think the biggest thing if we're going to get to 5K though, is I got to be monetizing.
It's
funny. You don't ask for money and you don't actually get paid. It's crazy how that works, right? So I think launching the paid version of the app, that's going to be a good test point for us to see if that's a viable method. In addition, we are going to, I think, start pushing coaching as an option, but very targeted coaching. You know, I'm thinking like 4 to 8 sessions to go from I have a dream and I don't know how to accomplish it to here's my plan. And then if people want some support after that, that's fine.
Yep.
We can continue there. Those are kind of the two primary ones. I think we like the concept of courses longer haul, but I think you learn how to develop a course by doing coaching. So kind of want to work more directly with people and that'll help populate the framework and kind of get things in a generic format where we could put it out as a course that people could go through and charge. So,
okay.
So I think really, you know, continuing to focus on building the viewership, focusing on connecting deeper with our readers by trying to have conversations with them. And then the actual monetization side, I mean, actually charging for stuff and going from there.
Okay. I like it. Create Your Freedom series. Yep. Sorry. YouTube channel. That's my one big thing. I just want to reemphasize that for you and everybody. Like, I think YouTube is absolutely a place where you can set yourself apart and create some massive opportunity there. So I would add to your list and say, sit down with your wife and see how you guys can pump out 3 times the content and spend 3 times less on it. It might not be as pretty to begin with. Actually, it just won't be because that's how it works. But hopefully that content, that change you're trying to make will still be there and apparent. Of course, don't lose that. But see if you guys can really start pushing that and getting better at that. That's one. And then, like you said, monetizing. App is going to be paid, coming pretty soon. I think that's smart. And coaching, obviously what you just said, and a handful of affiliate links sprinkled in there. All right. I think that's a good place to leave.
Awesome.
Great. Well, let's follow up. I put down March 1.
Yeah.
So maybe we should record like the last week of February or the first week of March, somewhere in there.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. All right, Chris. Well, where can people find you? Just go ahead and plug that again.
Sure. So you can find me at keepthrifty.com. Yep. The app is linked right in there. It's called Thrifty. Find me Twitter at keepthrifty. We're pretty consistent. So Facebook, Pinterest, all keepthrifty.
I love it.
One. Yep.
All right. Thanks so much, Chris.
All right. Thank you.